You'll notice that our scripture reading is Deuteronomy 8:11-18. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 18. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments, and his judgments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest, when thou hast eaten, and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. I trust the Lord will bless your heart with his word, and that his spirit can take this and have our hearts prepared for what we want to look at this day. Shall we pray? We do want to thank you, Father, for the privilege that's ours to be here. Thank you for the privilege of being in a country such as this, with all of our blessings, all of the abundance, all of the freedoms, all of the things that we have in excess around us. There's so much this country has. We think of what we have just read in these verses, and through Moses, your servant, in days gone by, you were giving them the warning that when times are good, and when they find success at every turn, they needed to be careful that they not begin to turn away from you and assume that all the blessings they were responsible for. We hate to admit it, but we know we must, that that's exactly what has happened in our own nation. We are a people that, when our founding fathers established the nation, they established it on your word, godly principles. Many of the founding fathers were true believers. They intended this nation to continue depending upon you, respecting you, counting on you, with prosperity, hearts straight, We are a people now that nationally have no need for you. We can take care of ourselves just fine, is the mentality of the people of this nation, for the most part. How we need your forgiveness, how we need you to do a mighty work in our land, to show us the foolishness of our thoughts and to turn our hearts back to you with confession, repentance, and a true desire to trust you and look unto you. We don't know, Father, if we have passed the point of no return. You know that. We are greatly concerned as we think of this upcoming election. We ask, Lord, that your will would be done. We pray, Lord, that if you could be merciful to us, you might extend mercy to us. We know we deserve your judgment for the way we have so turned against you as a people, in thoughts, in attitudes, in laws that have been passed, and direction of our people. We look to you, we need you. Apart from you, we are nothing. We pray that this day you would speak to our hearts, each of us. Help us to recognize the danger of success. Money is not the problem, it's the love of it that becomes the problem. We pray for the needs of our hearts to be met by your Holy Spirit. You see each of us, you know us, and I pray that you would speak through me your will. May you get the glory in all that's said and done in the remaining time in this service. In your name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Is it possible to have too much of a good thing? If a little thing does a little good, shouldn't a lot of good do a lot of good? I remember numerous times in my own life when I had broken something because I thought it needed just a little bit more adjustment. If I would have just left things alone, it was working fine. It was great. But it's good, but you know, I can just tweak this just a little bit more, just give just a little bit more. It's broken. If I would have just been content with leaving it alone the way it was. Right, dear? Right. She probably could tell you all kinds of stories. I think of some illustrations in Scripture. Let me just read a couple. You don't need to turn to it, but in the book of Proverbs, listen to Solomon's wisdom. In Proverbs 25, he said in verses 16 and 17 these words, "Withdraw thy, hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it." Just another bite, just another piece of bread and butter and honey, right? I can remember when our son was growing up, And he wanted more food, more food. And his mother, who's one of her favorite things was, Jeremy, you just need to learn to tell yourself, you've had enough. You've had enough. You don't need any more. Have you found honey? Just eat enough. Is this sufficient for you? Next verse says, here's again, if a little bit's good, maybe more is better. It depends. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee, and so hate thee. Yeah, but we're such good friends. Yeah, but are you a pest? Are you there too much? In Proverbs 37, 8 and 9, it says this, two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. One was, remove far from me vanity and lies. But the second one is the one that I really want you to listen to. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or, lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Help me to just have enough. Help me to just have enough. What about life? Can life be too good? Can the things be too right? Can things be too successful? Can a person be too prosperous? Well, we're going to look at a king of Judah this morning, and learn some things from his life. And I trust the Lord can speak to our hearts. 2 Chronicles 26 is our text this morning. 2 Chronicles 26. And we notice in the first five verses of this chapter, the secret of his success. The secret of his success in verses 1 through 5. All the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Elath, restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. That was his father. King Uzziah, at age 16, didn't sleep with his father. His father, Amaziah, was the one that had died in verse 2. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. It tells us here that as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. There seems to be the secret of his success. It wasn't that he was such a financial genius at age 16. It wasn't that he was so smart in managing people that he knew how to get people to do what he wanted them to do. But very clearly, the author of Chronicles tells us here that as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That's a very important principle for us to take to heart. This word sought means to tread or frequent, to seek or ask, or in this instance, to worship or inquire. As long as he kept frequenting the Lord. As long as he kept seeking the Lord. As long as he kept looking to the Lord for wisdom and direction and understanding how to be a king of a mighty people. He took on that responsibility. It came on his shoulders at a very early age, age 16. But we find that he had wisdom to realize that if he is going to make it, if he is going to be a successful king, he needed to look to the Lord. We find that the verse says, God made him prosper. God made him prosper. I'd like us to look at some other passages of Scripture. For instance, if we would go back to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28 will start at verse 1. We're not going to go through the whole chapter. You can be thankful there's 68 verses. But I want us to just look at the principle and some of the things that go along with that principle. What do you mean? It begins at verse 1, and it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Moses is speaking to the people, and by the time you get to the 28th chapter, he is getting very close to the end of his life. And he said, if you hearken to the voice of the Lord, if you will obey his word, that the very first thing is you're going to recognize is the Lord thy God is going to set thee on high above all nations of the earth. To whom was this spoken? Israel. Would you say that Israel is set on high above all the nations of the earth today? No. There are many people, many nations that would like to wipe Israel off of the maps. But it didn't have to be that way. God had made a promise back to his people back then, if you will do what I say, you're going to be above all the nations of the earth. And then we continue on. All these blessings, verse 2, shall come on thee and overtake thee, if you'll just hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy belly, your children, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of the cattle, increase of your kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. You'll be blessed when you come in, verse 6. You'll be blessed when you go out. Verse 7, the Lord will cause the enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before your face. They'll come out against thee one way, and they're going to flee before thee seven ways. You are going to scare them to death. The Lord will command a blessing on thee, verse 8, in your storehouses, in everything you set your hand to do. He's going to bless. He's going to, verse 9, establish you as a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn, if you'll keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in all his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Israel's not that way today. Does anybody know why? You remember what we read in Deuteronomy for our scripture reading this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 8? Do you remember in those warnings, Moses was giving warnings to a people, and he said, beware, beware, that when everything, when you've eaten and you're full and you're in cities and everything, your herds, your flocks have multiplied, the gold is multiplied, that thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And you begin to tell yourself that, look what we did. The answer why Israel is where she is today is because Israel did the very thing God warned them you better be careful of. The problem with success, if you're not careful, a person will get carried away with it, and they begin to entertain foolish thoughts. In 2 Chronicles 15:2, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa. Asa was a king. Azariah was a prophet, and in verse 2 of 2 Chronicles 15, it says, he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. This is the southern kingdom, represented by those two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. The same kind of warning. The same kind of warning that we saw in Deuteronomy chapter 8. All those promises that God had made to his people, they were conditional promises. God spelled it all out for them. It's your choice. As long as you, like our star of our sermon this morning, Uzziah, in that verse 5, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he, Uzziah, this king that started out at age 16 and was a king for 52 years, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That was the secret of his success. But let's look at verses 6 through 15. Secondly, let's notice the extent of his success. He understood the secret of prosperity. He understood, he knew that his success depended upon his dependence upon and his counting on God.
God and waiting on Him. And that's how he started out. And in verses 6 through 15, my, how God blessed him. It says, he went forth, warred against the Philistines, broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabneh, the wall of Ashdod. He built cities about Ashdod among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines. It wasn't that he was such a smart soldier or that he had such great armies. God helped him, just like we saw earlier in Deuteronomy 28 a few moments ago, when God said, if you will just obey my word, this is what I will do for you. You'll go up against one group of people and they're going to run in seven directions. They're going to be so scared of you. What promises? And this man, he was witnessing God keeping his word. Because it said, God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians that dwelt in Guberniel and the Meshunims. And the Ammonites gave gifts unto Uzziah. These people that he was conquering, they started bringing things to him. His name spread abroad. He began to, the reputation of this boy king. Now, there was another one that started at age 8, I think, but this one was a teenager when he took office. And it wasn't long, it tells us in verse 8, that they were hearing the name of King Uzziah all the way down into Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Notice in verse 9, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the turning of the wall, and he fortified and he built towers in the desert. He built many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also and vine dressers in the mountains, and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. He loved the ground and what it could produce. Moreover, it says he had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account by the hand of Jehiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. It gives the number of his army. Verse 13, under their hand was an army 300,000, 7,500 that made war with mighty power. He had a remarkable military army at his disposal. How was that happening? Because verse 5 told us that as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And God, it seemed, was blessing this young man's hand with anything he touched or in any direction he headed. Notice it says he had all kinds of military weapons in verse 14, and in verse 15 he made in Jerusalem. He was an inventor. It tells us that he made in Jerusalem, the King James says, engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and on the bulwarks. He made military artillery inventions. He had them up on the walls. They could shoot arrows. shoot great stones, and his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. What a picture of success. In many ways, this young man had what a lot of people would refer to as the enviable life. Just look at how prosperous he was. How that at every turn, anything he did, he succeeded in it. His reputation, everybody was hearing of this King Uzziah. But there were some key ideas which invite a closer look. Which brings us to number three, the tragedy of his success. We saw the secret of his success, the extent of his success, and as enviable as a lot of people would think, there was tragedy involved in that success. And we go back to verse 8, and it said here that he started receiving gifts and his name started spreading abroad. And it tells us in verse 8 that he strengthened himself exceedingly. He started taking steps himself. Notice in verse 15b, his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But, verse 16, when he was strong, who needs God? Now, it doesn't say that in our text. But that's exactly what Uzziah, that's how he began to live his life. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. A lifted up heart is another word for what? Pride. Stop and think of it. Here this young man at age 16 had the crown of the nation put upon his head, and he began to witness all of this prosperity. At every turn, things were prospering. Oh, verse 5, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And so it seems like there was a good length of time that knowing the right response, he did the right thing. He kept his heart in fellowship with God. He sought the Lord, and he began to see all of this working out to his benefit. Everybody knew him. He had a reputation all the way down to Egypt, and all over the countrysides, everybody had heard of this. And everything he touched prospered. Nations were bringing in tribute to him. What happened? It doesn't show us in the verse. It doesn't tell us how many years. But his success led to his heart being lifted up with pride. See the first person that's ever happened to? Oh no. It's a common thing, isn't it? The pages of history are recorded with of examples of those who had humble beginnings and things started out from the ground roots, but then things begin to blossom and bloom and flourish, and oh, not every time, but so many times with prosperity and success comes the pride, the heart being lifted up of an individual thinking, wow, I guess I must be pretty special, because look at all that is going on. Look at how it's working out. Man, I must have the right answers. So we find with his heart, verse 16, was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Here's perhaps the greatest tragedy. It was sad that his heart was lifted up in pride. That was bad enough, isn't it? But in his pride, he assume that I don't need anybody to intercede in my behalf with God. I don't need to wait on a priest. I'm the king. If I want to go in and offer an offering to the Lord in the temple, I'll do it myself. Was that a good notion or not? God had ways. God had established. The king knew that. He knew that he had no right, no authority to go into the presence of the Lord. God had raised up the priests to intercede in his behalf. But his heart was lifted up with pride to his destruction. And the day came when he was so proud, he told himself, I don't need a priest. I'm the king. I am so successful of this nation. I'll just go in and offer my own sacrifice to the Lord. Azariah the priest went in, verse 17, after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. This Azariah, he was smart, wasn't he? He didn't go in by himself. He didn't challenge the king one-on-one. But he took in how many valiant men with him? 80 men to confront the king. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord. But it appertains, it applies to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. They withstood him. To his face, they said, you have no business or authority in here doing what you are doing, even though you are the king. You have entered into a ministry. You are trying to fulfill an office that you do not have. Yeah, you're a great man. Yeah, you've got a great reputation. Man, you've had success, unbelievable success, but you're wrong here. And so you need to you have transgressed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord. God's not going to bless what you've done. So, verse 19, does this surprise us with a man who, back in verse 16, when his heart was strong, success had ruined him because he didn't handle it right. And his heart was lifted up to his destruction. And it says that he was angry and he had a censer in his hand. He had all the religious tools in his hand. He had gotten the censer that had the burning coals to sprinkle the incense on, like the priests were supposed to do. And while he was wroth with the priests, notice it tells us the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. The tragedy, God wasn't to blame for what happened to this man. He did the very thing God had warned the people in Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 18 not to do. Uzziah instead had strengthened himself, verse 8, giving himself all the praise instead of giving all the praise and the honor to the Lord. And like we read for our scripture reading this morning, Moses had warned those people, beware when things get so good for you as God's people. Don't let it go to your head thinking that we are responsible. We are the ones that have brought this all about. Don't forget that it is God to whom you owe all of the success and prosperity that he is going to give you. He started accepting the praise, the fame, the recognition, and his heart was corrupted by his prosperity, his pride, and he began to try to take all the glory for himself. Now, not everybody forgets. Not everybody allows fame, recognition, praise of men to go to their heads. We can't blame that on what happened. You say, well, what do you mean? Who? Do you have any examples? Yeah, how about Joseph in Genesis 41? In Genesis 41, verses 15 and 16, remember Joseph, now he was sold by his brothers, and he was carried off and was sold. He became someone's slave, someone's property. And for a good number of years, life wasn't so pleasant for Joseph. But then things changed. And in Genesis 41, verses 15 and 16, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard saying of you that you can understand the dream and interpret it. Remember, there had been two fellow prisoners in prison with Joseph. Previous to this, they had dreams. And Joseph said, tell me your dream and I'll see if God will give me the interpretation. Joseph accurately interpreted the dreams, not because he was a soothsayer and was one that could read dreams, was a mind reader, but God had given him the answer and he got a reputation. Word got to the king. There's a guy down in the dungeon he actually has charge of the prisoners, but he could interpret your dream for you, king. So the king brought him out, and he said, I've heard say of you that you can interpret dreams. Listen to what Joseph said. Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me, Pharaoh. God will give Pharaoh the answer. No, Joseph's had the opportunity there to accept the praise, the glory. Things hadn't been going well for him, but he said, I've heard it said of you that you can interpret dreams. And he said, oh no, I can't take any credit for this. This is God. What about Uzziah? Prosperity, he started taking credit for it, and his heart was ruined by his success. Daniel was another man. When Daniel as well found himself in prison, and the king had a dream, and word came out that if the magicians, the wise men, can't give the interpretation of the dream, they're all going to be put to death. Well, they heard about Daniel. He had interpreted a dream before. And word came that, you know, if you just ask him, he'll tell you the answer. So the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen? See, the king had a dream, and it bothered him, and he wanted to know what the interpretation was. He couldn't remember it the next day. He just knew that it was a special dream. And he said, here the king. The king is asking this prisoner out of the prison, are you able to make known to me the dream which I had and its interpretation? Daniel answered, in the presence of the king, what an opportunity for him to say, yeah, I can do that for you. Just tell me what it is. But he didn't. The fame, the success, the opportunity for advancement didn't go to his head. When he knew God needed the credit for it, Daniel said, the secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men, astrologers, magicians, the soothsayers show? There's no man can show the king. But there is a God in heaven, and he reveals secrets, and he makes known to King Nebuchadnezzar what's going to be in the latter days. God has given you an insight in the future. And the rest of the verses, and he said, and here's what the future is going to be. Wasn't me, it's God that told you this. Well, as we think of the result with Uzziah, pride, we're told that this particular word, that his heart was lifted up. We find that that meant to soar, be lofty, to be haughty, proud. It's a very rarely used word for pride and being lifted up. Other tragedies. Was Uzziah the only one? No. I can give you other names, other references. Hezekiah, Pharaoh, Prince of Tyre, Satan himself. Pride writes its own rules, sets its own standards, overlooks principles, and it does as it pleases. And how'd that work out for Uzziah? His heart was lifted up to his what? His destruction. And the 81 men that confronted him in the temple stood, and before their eyes, was talking to my brother-in-law yesterday, who's also a pastor. He asked, what are you preaching on today? And I told him, and he said, can you imagine what must that have been to have stood right there and witnessed God's immediate hand of judgment upon this king, and his skin was covered before their own eyes with what? Leprosy. And he died a leper in quarantine. His son continued carrying on his ministry. That's how the rest of that 26th chapter goes. As we think of this, what happened? Was it too much of a good thing? No, you can't blame God. God wasn't too good to him. Uzziah, though, failed to recognize God as a source of all that he had. Instead of allowing these things to keep him close to God, he was corrupted by them. So what are you trying to tell us, Pastor? You know what happened to this king? It's happened to multitudes of people down through the ages. If we're not careful, we too will begin to take credit for life and what we're experiencing and what we have. Paul himself in 1 Corinthians 15:10 said, but by the grace of God, I what? I am what I am. The most notorious of all of God's apostles. How easily it would have been for Paul to begin to take credit for that. But Paul was very careful. And he said, it's only by God's grace I am what I am. Do you know that that's true of you and me as well? It's only by God's grace. How quickly we forget. We look at our things, we look at our possessions, we look at our successes, we look at our health, we look at our families. Beloved, it's by the grace of God we are what we are. And may God keep us humble and keep us from giving in to pride. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you for this portion. Thank you for the example of this king. Oh, how tragic, but how understandable. We understand how easy it is to receive benefits from others and begin to take credit for them ourselves. Oh, Lord, help us to remember the tragedy of this great king. Oh, as long as he sought you, as long as he drew close to you, you prospered him. It could have remained that way, but he let his success spoil him. Keep us close to you, Father. For your glory we pray in your name.